Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 56. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home.
Well, good morning, everybody, and Merry Christmas. So we're actually pre-recording the Christmas message this morning, so you guys at Bongeen can have it on Christmas morning, and also those who are listening online. And you can tell it's Christmas because I've got a red shirt on. Anyway, Christmas is a time of joy. And it's a time for praising God. And there's plenty of joy and there's plenty of praising God in the Christmas story. I've been a pastor now for about 16 years. And each Christmas I try to find a different part of the Christmas story for us to focus on. And now 16 years into it, it won't be long and we're probably going to have to go back to some of the other things that we've focused on already. But when it comes to the joy and the praise of God, it's pretty common for us to focus on the angels coming to the shepherds or the wise men bringing their gifts or the message of the angels that they brought to Mary and Joseph. But there's also another wonderful song of praise to God that we in the Protestant church, rarely venture into. And that's the song of praise that Mary sang to the Lord. It's known as the Magnificat. Simply because she begins by saying, "My soul magnifies the Lord." That means my soul, myself, who I am, makes God great. And that might seem like a bit of a strange sort of a phrase to say, but that I make God great, because God's already great. But this is the power of praise. And this is the power of worship. And it's not just a matter of words, it's when the essence of who we are magnifies God, worships God before men. And when that happens, others also begin to grasp the greatness and the bigness of God as we know him. So it's not that we make God any bigger than he already is. Our worship draws the attention of those who don't yet know God to the greatness of God. All right, so let me give you an example. Seems to me there's been a fair few famous people die this year. Yes, it happens every year, but to me it seems like there seems to be more than ever. I don't know whether it's because of COVID that's going on or what, I don't know. But I've noticed that whenever somebody famous dies, some of these people we know of quite well and we know of their achievements, but others, not so much. But it seems that whenever somebody great dies, they might give a segment of them during the news on the telly at night, or they might even put a show on to actually demonstrate the things that this person achieved during their life. Of course, they always leave out the bad bits and they only tell us about the good bits. But, you know, I've seen segments of this what they've achieved during their life. I've gone, wow, I didn't know that about that person. And yeah, that's really great that they're able to achieve that. And it's the same when we worship God. When we worship God and when we praise God for the things that God has done, others might go, wow, I never considered that about God. I never considered that God was responsible for that. And so we make God great, not by embellishing anything, but by merely praising God for what he's done. And this is why we're meeting here today. We magnify God today as we worship him because he sent his son. And Mary goes on, verse 47, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. All right, so her soul, her very self, magnifies God and her spirit rejoices in God. This is the very heart of the Christmas message. Jesus isn't just a baby who was born and laid in a feed trough. Jesus is God incarnate. Jesus is God who came to earth to dwell among us. Jesus is God who came to be our Savior. And if you're someone who has experienced the salvation of God through Jesus Christ, you understand very well what it means for your spirit to rejoice. Now, I reckon that this is the difference between a Christian celebrating Christmas and anybody else who celebrates Christmas. If your spirit doesn't rejoice at Christmas, it might be because you don't know Jesus as your Savior. Now, we all know different people celebrate different things at Christmas. We all have our different ideas about what Christmas is about. So if you just look at the Christmas movies that appear on TV and you'll pick up some of the ideas of what people think Christmas is about, right? So it might be about a movie about families having good times together. And for a lot of people, that's what Christmas is about. It's a time for family. It's a time when we celebrate families and just enjoy each other's company. Or it might be a movie about a nasty person finally doing something good for somebody else. And so it might be for some folk, Christmas is a season for doing nice things to people that we normally wouldn't. Or it's a time when we expect to see even nasty people be nice. Or it might be a movie about somebody feeling lonely and yet then finding somebody else to share Christmas with. And for many, that's what Christmas is about. It's time to connect with the lonely. Or it could be something as shallow as getting home in time for Christmas dinner. And yes, I've seen movies that were essentially about that. And isn't that what, for so many people, what Christmas is about? Look at all of the worry a couple of months ago. Oh, we've got to have the borders open before Christmas. Why? Well, we've got to be home in time for Christmas dinner. Or, of course, it could be about falling in love. But you see, all of that stuff, that's just a sideshow. Christmas is a time for our spirit to rejoice. And why would the spirit rejoice? It's because we know that our Savior has come. You know, this is no little thing that Jesus has saved us from. Jesus has saved us from physical death and spiritual death. In Christ, we have eternal life, and that's why our spirit rejoices. If Jesus didn't come on that first Christmas morn, if Jesus wasn't born, if Jesus didn't die for us on the cross, if Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, we'd all be doomed. But he has. He's done all of these things. He was born, and we celebrate this at Christmas time. And he did die for us. We celebrate that on Good Friday. And he did rise from the dead, and now he's with the Father. And he's going to come back again. He has done all of these things. And in doing this, he has taken us from our state of utter hopelessness and our state of despair. And he's established us into a position of great esteem. What an amazing thing that Jesus would leave heaven to come to earth to suffer and to die for lowly us. And in this, our spirit rejoices. And yet for many people, they don't care about that. For them, Christmas, yeah, it involves another sort of spirit. Christmas is a time to get drunk. Now, alcohol sales just go through the roof at Christmas time, don't they? I don't know if it's like that in every country, but it's certainly like that in ours. It's very much a part of our culture. Christmas is a time more than any other to get drunk. That's why we see so many random breath tests on the road around Christmas time. And so they're into that spirit. But their spirit has no joy. You know, most people can find some kind of joy at Christmas. But is it spiritual joy? Do their spirits rejoice? In such cases, there's a great big hurdle that they haven't gotten over yet, and it's a hurdle that's keeping them from coming to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. Do you know what that hurdle is? Most often it's pride. The one thing that really sticks out to me in this song of praise that Mary sang is the way that she was intensely aware of her lowliness. And why should she be considered worthy to carry the Son of God or to raise the Son of God? She uses the phrase that she is of humble estate, and she was. In the eyes of the world, Mary was a nobody. She wasn't wealthy. She wasn't high born. She didn't come from the upper classes. She didn't even come from the middle classes. She wasn't famous for anything. She didn't have a whole heap of Facebook friends and a big Twitter following. And now she's pregnant and she's out of wedlock and she's shamed. And yet, all generations from then on would call this woman blessed. You see, Jesus didn't come for the mighty and the proud. Jesus came for the humble. And perhaps the greatest barrier for any of us to be saved is when we have this attitude of pride and self-sufficiency, which is so common, and it's something which many aspire to. You know, the rich have this feeling, yeah, I can get by quite nicely without God. And so they don't cry out to God because they don't feel they need him. The strong, they like to do things themselves. And so in their strength, their self-sufficiency stops them from crying out to God. And the proud, we actually talked about the proud a couple of months ago now. I did it my way. The proud just like to do it their own way. And so they don't cry out to God. But verse 50 says, his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. Right? Now, when the Bible talks about from generation to generation, what that simply means is it's always been that way and it's always going to be that way. This is not going to change. You see, this has always been true and it will always be true that God's mercy is for those who fear him. But the proud don't fear God. And God demonstrates his strength as he scatters the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. That's where pride begins, you know, is in your heart. Pride is a very seductive thing. You know, most of us have a somewhat limited understanding of what pride is. And often we don't think that what we have could possibly be pride because, you know, the proud, oh, that's those people who go, I'm just wonderful, you know. And of course, that's not us. But you know what? Biblically, the proud are at times simply those who reject God. They choose their own path. They go their own way. They do everything in all of their own self-sufficiency. And in their mind, they make their own plans. And yet in the end, it's the humble who are exalted. You see, it's the humble who fear God. And so it's the humble that he lifts up. You notice the way that Jesus has a way of turning everything on his head? I shouldn't have posed that as a question. I should have just assumed that you have. If you've been walking with Jesus for a while now, you'll very quickly know that Jesus has a way of turning everything on its head. The mighty up there on their thrones, they're brought down, while the humble are lifted up. The rich who don't turn to God, they've got everything they need now, so they don't turn to God. But they're going to be sent away empty, while those who didn't even have enough to eat are going to be filled with good things. Jesus turns everything onto its head. And this is what Christmas is about. This is why even families who can't afford to buy any Christmas presents can be filled with immense joy at Christmas. Because as a family, they celebrate Christ, they worship God, they magnify God because He's given us His Son. What an amazing experience it was for Mary, for this humble woman to carry the Son of God. Do you realize we have a very similar privilege? Jesus now dwells in the hearts of His disciples. What a privilege it is for us that God chooses to live in the humble. His mercy is for those who fear Him. And part of that mercy of God is He is with us every day. So this Christmas, let's praise God. Let's magnify the Lord for this very thing that Jesus came to save. And let's delight that He chooses us, the lowly, to live in us today. What an amazing thing to praise God for. Merry Christmas, everyone.